Something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now.
All right.
That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
All right. That's a teaching that we have to ask. That's a question, excuse me, that we have to ask ourselves. Do we value God enough to just wait on him, amen, to trust his timing, amen? We see many illustrations throughout the Bible where those that did not wait on God long enough, trouble came their way. But when they waited on God, God delivered and brought them through. Amen. So we must learn to wait on God. And that's a challenge. Amen. Because we have uncertainties. Amen. But when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then you have the ability to wait. Amen. Because within you is the insurance to wait. Amen. We had a wonderful service program on yesterday, as I was sharing with you all about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, part one. Amen. We're going to have many parts of this teaching concerning the Holy Spirit and all that he has to available for us. It is very important for us to not rush teachings like this, because it is these things that when we don't have the right understanding, we can miss God. I'm going to say it again. When we don't have the right understanding, we can miss God. That means there's a plan for your life and my life. Amen. There's some things that God has set and structured for us. But if we're not patient, if we're not following the scriptures, if we're not believing in the word, then we will miss out on some of the benefits that God has to offer us. Amen. And so we have to be very, very careful. Well, before I go any further, I just want to greet those that are on the line right now. Amen. Once again, I may just do a small recap on the person of the Holy Spirit from yesterday, but I want to talk today about the purpose of the Holy Spirit today as we walk through teaching on the Holy Spirit. Well, good evening. How are you doing this evening? I look like I have Missionary Ken and Brother Six on the line. God bless you, gentlemen.
How you doing, Pastor Bonnet?
Man, doing wonderful. Dr. Wolfgang, God bless you, man of God. It is always good to hear your voice. I trust that your wife is doing well or better.
Well, she's doing okay there. She's listening in. You know what? I think the main reason, Pastor Bonnet, most of us don't have patience is we're not doctors.
You know him, Pastor Bonnet. He's got to give you the humor show of the week.
Notice I called you Dr. Wolfgang.
Well, technically I am, but don't be spreading that around. I may have that as my degree, but I'm not into titles. Just call me missionary, okay? That's the only title I'll accept. That or brother, just like they had in the Bible. They said brother, okay? I'll accept either one of those, but that's it.
You know, I got one more for you. I think this is the greatest title that any of us can have next to the title of being son, and that is servant.
I'll take that one, too.
Amen.
Amen. I knew you'd take that one. Amen, because it's a blessing to serve the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Jesus himself proved himself to be not just a son, but a servant as well. Amen.
And Pastor Bonnet, speaking of being a servant, I know it's been a while since I've given you all an update on the progress of our Bible that we're doing through our ministry, creating a 24-point print Bible. We are now, we've gotten all of, from Genesis up to Psalm 80, into 24-point print.
Man, that's a lot of work. I tell you, and I encourage you to keep going forward with what God has given you. Amen. And just be encouraged. I'm encouraging my spirit to do a reprint of my first book with an inserts on because God's given me more concerning the 8 steps that I talked about in the book, but it was called Reborn, A Chance to Live Again. Reborn, A Chance to Live Again. And it really just break down what the Bible is in 8 different points and just give very simple explanation to the Bible and Christianity as a whole. I'm encouraged to restart that print, reprint that, excuse me, with those inserts per each chapter. And so I encourage you to keep on going. I know your wife has been doing some writing herself, and I just pray that this is the year that we get a lot of our writings done and published for those that are searching for information and training and so on to help them follow the gospel mission. And that is to go out to all the world. Amen. And so I encourage you.
And speaking of books, another one that I've got planned, but I'm still looking for, and all our listeners can be a part of it. What I'm doing is from the dog guide's point of view, in this case a leader dog's point of view, I'm using my last dog guide, taking his personality. I've interviewed all his puppy raisers, his trainer, of course myself, and where he retired, all of those people, and I'm doing this from the dog's point of view, and anybody that has any questions that they would like, if they was to ask the dog like they were asking the dog and getting the dog's point of view, what it was like to be what it was like for the in the life a service dog guide.
Amen. Amen. I think
so. Imagine yourself, Pastor Bonnet, asking a question and getting an answer from the dog guide's point of view, what it was like to work as a service guide dog animal.
Amen. I think towards the end of this month, and I give you time to prep, and we'll talk more offline. Maybe we need to do like a 10-15 minute segment where we kind of like do that, if you would, the dog interview. and that way you kind of give the background scope of what you're talking about, what you will be talking about in that book. Let's do a little audio, a pre-audio sample to that. And we'll come up with a few standard questions, I would say. Maybe somewhere between 5 and 10 different questions that may be on the minds of those that needing assistance in that area, helping them to navigate the world without sight, using a service dog. I think that would be something nice to do, just to put that out there as a just as a service help. Yeah.
And so, also, this is also to educate you sighted folks. So, like, you would like to know what it's like yourself, you know, because, like, preachers would like to know, you know, how it is. You know, a lot of people that are sighted are misunderstand what these dogs
that's
do,
right.
What how they're trained, etc. Well, that's what this book is to do, is to show from birth to the dog's retirement all the way through exactly what it's like from the dog's point of view. So, like you yourself, I mean, like one preacher did not understand when I went into his church and they were ready to tell me, no, you can't bring this dog in here. And then I had to explain to them. And then when they understood, they said, okay. And they allowed me to bring the dog into the church. They did not understand.
Yeah.
With the doctor's job.
Our world is evolving. There's so many different things that's happening. And it's so important for us to be not flexible in the sense of changing doctrine, but flexible in understanding the different challenges that people have and being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into reaching people in all areas of life. And that's just something to really be mindful of, because, you know, a lot of our mega churches, a lot of our medium to large churches had to be mindful. Hey, you got people that are in wheelchairs, and you didn't make space for them up front, and so they're blocking the aisle. So put sections in there for people that are challenged, you know. And you got just so it's so many areas of ministry that we can always improve on, and just to make things better as we come together as a body of believers to worship God together. It's one thing in a training section where we're training and we have a little bit more stricter guidelines about whom come in. But when you are out worshiping, this is public worship, and you are inviting people to come in and experience the relationship with God and to see others working together in worshiping God together, they must be able to see a more unified front. And that takes much prayer and leading of the Holy Spirit. And I guess that's why we're talking about this month. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, who is our guide. So he is our guide. Like you will have that guide dog sometimes in life. As believers, we'll walk virtually into, and we don't see, but the Holy Spirit sees, he senses, he understands, and we must, like the person that has the guide dog, must trust the guide dog to do what it's been trained to do. We as believers must also trust that the Holy Spirit knows what the Father wants us to do and sees the desire of Christ for our lives. So I think it can go hand in hand. So I definitely want to cooperate with you offline and let's do something to make that correlation together. I think it would be a nice insert to add to just share with people how we are to really learn to trust God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Six, are you there? I guess that's Brother Six.
Actually, this is Queen
I. Hey, Queen. God bless you. That's right here. 9-9-8, that's right. I don't know why I keep mixing the two. Okay.
I always have fours and the sevens.
Yeah. Queen, I got you. I got you, Queen. How you doing today?
I'm blessed, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I hope you have your paper, your pen, so you could take your notes today. I think I'm going to fill your paper up.
All right. I'm getting prepared for that. So that'll be good.
That's good. I did forget to ask Missionary Ken, did he have any prayer requests? Let me back up just a second there, and I come right back to you, Queen. Missionary Ken, did you have any prayer requests? Anything that corporately we can pray concerning together?
Well, still in prayer about our bus for the ministry, praying for this Bible as we keep working on it, and pray for all of the ministers here at the Success Radio Network. We want to pray for Maggie Balfour, who's in Scotland, that God continues to use the Success Radio Network for her, as well as everybody else that listens. And, of course,
Amen.
Lost souls. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you and your family. Amen.
Pastor Bonnet, I wanted to ask prayer for Emily. She hasn't been feeling well, and I've got something wrong with my legs. I cut the grass, and it hurts now so bad I can barely walk. So I'm going to get a vascular test up in Asheville County Medical Center, where they're going to squeeze my legs to see what's causing the leg cramps. And then I'm going to Cleveland Clinic for a pain management doctor. So we'll see what happens from there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the injections and the pain will get better.
Amen. Amen. Put your little ice on it tonight, and let the inflammation kind of comes on out the leg a little bit. And as soon as you said my leg, I just heard ice it a little bit. Don't put your little ice on that and relieve some of the inflammation that's in your legs, and that'll soothe some of the pain out. We may have some other underlying issues, but when you work those muscles, sometimes they go through a straining process, and a lot of times we don't get enough water in our bodies as really needed. Inflammation can build up in areas, and so it's always good to do an icing about 15 minutes for that. And a lot of us don't like, I don't. And I know the benefits of it because I did 18 months of therapy for my back issue years ago when I injured my back in 92.
I didn't know you got went through all that. That's awful.
Yeah, but if to God be the glory, although two of my vertebrae are what they call compressed, I have no pain today. God delivered me. And that's why I tell people all the time, have faith in God. People would touch you. You know how people come up and pat you and say, hey, how you doing? And they pat you on the back. When people would do that, it would send like a nerve shock through my whole body. And I used to have to brace myself and not give in to that. It made me feel almost weak to either stumble or fall, and or just the pain will just be a little agonizing. And just one day, you know, I just kept on. You know, I was young in my marriage, young in ministry, and I was determined not to stop and not to be crippled. And I just said, God, I'm just gonna keep on. If I got to do it through suffering, I'm just gonna keep on. I got these kids to raise. I can't stop, Lord. And I kept on. And one day, just somebody patted me on the back, and I didn't feel it. And I didn't think much of it, and I kept on. And then afterwards, I was reflecting on it, and I was like, I don't have any pain. And I had dealt with the pain for so long, I didn't realize the pain was even gone because I had adapted my mind to being cautious on how I did things, what I did, and it was just gone. And I tell God, thank you, because I received his healing. I believed it. It came, and I have it today. It don't mean I don't hurt from time to time. I can do things to strain that area. I learned what to do to relieve myself from that pain. But for the most part, I'm able to lift and bend and jump, and I ain't doing too much running. But
Praise the Lord. I mean, that's wonderful.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And the Lord
I'm
has
thankful.
Healed one thing for me. I was having trouble sleeping for a long time. Now I sleep like as if I'm a baby. I can just, I'm gone. I mean, I used to lay for hours and days on end, couldn't sleep. Now I can sleep like the Lord even took away the problem I had with that. So,
amen.
He can do anything.
And that's how we have to, That's how we have to celebrate God. Amen. Amen. And let's not forget our Queen Nye. Queen Nye, God bless you. Woman of God, is always good to have
our station manager. You are such a beautiful lady.
Hey, our station manager. You may hear us call her as Princess Nikhil, but she's letting us know the princess has become queen. Hey? Amen.
Amen.
And she's a wonderful soul, great talent, an architect, and so many other things. Woman of God, we still believe in God for your legs. Amen. That God will continue. So we know you have issues with them, but I'm going to tell you, just keep believing he's able. And before you know it, one day, you'll go to stand up without even thinking about it and then I walk through the house and be like, wait a minute. I'm walking without a limp. I'm walking with, wait a minute. And you'll look back and you're like, man, I don't care. How did I do it? Oh, Lord, thank you. Come on, woman of God. You got any prayer requests or anything that weighing on your heart that you'd like for us to pray with you concerning?
Yes. Prayer for my family, prayer for my health, which I'm doing pretty good. I know I'm still dealing with the broken bone in my knee. Every now and then it hurts, but I'm able to get around and do what I need to do in my wheelchair and transfer okay. So I'm thankful for that. But mainly just continue to pray for my family, prayer for my success, prayer for a new place to live, whether I'm able to move back down south or if it's somewhere in Cleveland, somewhere that's a better neighborhood. And just God to continue to cover me and help me to get in position to start this business, because I know it's going to take off and I'm just trying to get my health in order and be ready to function. And I do need that place to get everything started, the space that I need to get everything started. So I'm praying for that.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're believing God with you. I want to remind you of Rebecca 2:2 once again. But before you read two,
hey,
Pastor 2 and
3,
God bless you. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Hold on, Lila. Let me finish this first. God bless you, Sister Lila. Rebecca 2:2. Before you make sure you read Rebecca 2:1-2,
okay.
So that the vision that you write is not your vision, but his vision for you.
Amen.
And ask God for, say, Lord, give me a 6-month plan that I can look back and celebrate 6 months from now. And I just felt that when you said a few things that you said, I'm not going to repeat them, but there's some things that dropped in my spirit as you said it. And so I encourage you, as you do as Rebecca did, in your time of worship, private worship, ask God to really reveal to you a 6-month plan, the thing that he wants you to do over the course of the next 6 months. Write those things down and then begin to follow those instructions. And if the Holy Spirit gives you, and in 6 months, watch the difference that changes things for you to propel you to fulfill certain things that's in your heart. I just believe that in my spirit. And as you were saying that, I felt that, so I encourage you to do that, okay?
I will. Thank you very much. I agree with that.
Amen. So, amen. Back to Sister Lila. Hey, God bless you. How you doing? Good to hear your voice on the program tonight.
I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. God,
that's
be
good.
Welcome.
That's good. Do you have a prayer request?
Same prayer request as before, but I do have some additional prayer requests I need to put out there.
Okay, we're listening.
Please pray for my friend Sandy. She has the way that her family goes through the grieving process. Please. So she did end up, my best friend Sandy did end up passing last week. So it's going to be hard on me and some of the residents here. So pray for her family and the residents here too. The staff as well.
Amen. Amen.
Pray for myself especially because even though I didn't see eye to eye about certain things with her, I still grew attached to her in a way.
That's good. That's good.
So just keep me out there in prayer too.
Amen.
And the
and
same
we will
with
do
the
that
Barnum way. Family. The Barnum family, all the first responders, the whole nine yards.
Amen. Yeah, I got
and
a call.
The family.
She looked like she called me earlier. I was asleep or away from my phone, so she called me earlier. I got to return her call, but I will do that later. When I saw it, I was already preparing for the program, so I'll call her at a later time. But I definitely will pray for Sister Emily as well, and thank you for your prayer request. All right. I want y'all to get ready. We're going to go into this teaching tonight, so those of you that are able to take notes, please take notes. If you are not able to take notes, remember that you can download this program on the iHeart app on demand. Amen. It is available for you. Or you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can look up this program and any other program from the Six Eyes Radio Network, and you can listen to any program at any given time. So we thank God for modern technology. It makes things available for us. And I pray that what we share today will be a blessing to you. Amen. I like to remind people that I am an ordained minister in the Church of God in Christ. And we have an affirmation of faith. Amen. And certain teachings that we teach and stand on as principles concerning the Bible. And from time to time, I have to read those things. Because I think it's important for you to know whom you're listening to and from what standard are they building upon. I'm not building my standard based on just my affirmation, but I'm basing my standard on my personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I am saved. I am a born-again Christian, which means I am a believer of Jesus Christ. I believe that he was born of a virgin birth. I believe that he lived a sin-free life. I believe that he died for the sins of humanity. I believe that they wrongfully convicted him and crucified him on a cross for your sins and mine. I believe that the Holy Spirit that dwelt in him raised him from the grave and given him power over death. And so he, being the first to be the resurrection from the dead. Now we know that in his ministry, he raised many from the grave. He, four in particular that is mentioned in Scripture, that are in the text that he raised from the grave, but we know that they died afterwards. They still ended up, had to go back to the grave. Well, Jesus Christ, out of all philosophers, speakers, leaders, gurus, whatever you want to call them, he is the only one that had conquered death. He is not dead. He is yet still alive. The followers that saw him ascended to the heavens. And so since he came back from heaven, he ascended back to heaven. And so those that saw that, the Holy Spirit being there that day, is still here to dwelling in the land to bear witness with our conscience that he is alive. And we're not serving a dead God. We're not serving a dead leader. We're serving someone who's full of power. And I've crossed that in the teaching tonight. And I've been baptized by water and of the Holy Spirit. That's right. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I do speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives me utterance. I believe in all the powers of God. I believe that I can lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. I believe that because I've done that. So I believe that the Spirit of God. Amen. I have some feedback. Somebody needs to. Well, I know I just mute the lines, and I unmute them when I'm done. Amen. So I believe that we are able to do the things that God told us to do. And we're able to do them through the power of the Holy Spirit, which we'll be covering tonight. But our affirmation of faith as the Church of God in Christ, we believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible written word of God. And when we say that, we're not talking about translations. We're talking about the original scriptures and their original writings, the original writings of Hebrew and Aramaic from the New Testament. And, amen. We believe there's only one God eternally existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe in the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and answers for the believer's prayer. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for it. So all you have to do is ask for the Holy Spirit, and God will give you him. Amen. We believe in the sanctified power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian, that's the believer, is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. So the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, we believe the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity that proceeds from the Father and the Son of the same substance, equal to part and glory, and is together with the Father and the Son to be believed in, obeyed, and worshiped. The Holy Ghost is a gift bestowed upon believers for the purpose of equipping and empowering the believer, making him or her a more effective witness for service in the world. He teaches and guides one into all truth. And we see that, and that is given to us in the book of St. John, chapter 16, We'll be covering that today, verses 13, Acts 1 and 8. We'll be covering that as well, and Acts 8 and 39, and that one we'll save for another time. And so that's what we stand for. That's our belief as a church. And so that you will have the understanding of the direction in which I will be teaching from tonight. And I pray that what I share with you, that as you follow along with me in your Bible, you will have the same understanding. Amen. So, just a simple recap. I try not to preach from yesterday, but just a simple recap. Yesterday, we talked about, on Sunday, we spoke on the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is he? And we see in John, we see in John that we see that God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And so Jesus did this. But how do we believe and receive that? It is through the Holy Spirit. And said, the Bible says that, but it is written, I haven't seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has for him. But God has revealed them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man in him? Even so, things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. This is very important for us to have that understanding and teaching. And so we talked about what happened when people conceive something in their heart that they were led to do by God and then don't do it, how they're not lying to men, but they're lying to God. And the Bible gives us an illustration that happened, something that really happened between a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. We saw how they lied to God, and it cost them their life. Now, we are not speaking concerning their soul. We're speaking concerning their life. And because of their lying to God, it cost them their life. And so then later on, we dealt with the Bible telling us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is why we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit don't have the option just to get up and leave our body. He was sent to keep us. And so because he was sent to keep us, he is sent to keep us so that we'll have the seal of God in us. So when we don't do what we're supposed to do as born-again believers, we grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is righteous. And when we are living a life that's unrighteous, it's grievous to him, because we make him partaker of our wrongdoing. And so that's the person of the Holy Spirit. So that's the day. Let's deal with the person of the Holy Spirit operating within us. So let's deal with the purpose of the Holy Spirit. So those of you that's taking notes, write down Matthew chapter, tonight would be Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, St. John chapter 16, we'll go from verses 7 through 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Okay? And we're going to, I think that'll be on tonight. So, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Now, so in speaking of the Holy Spirit, we have to speak of Christ first. So let's look at Matthew's chapter 10, verse 1. Okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and we're just going to read verse 1. I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, "And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases." Now, that's what it says. If I read the New Living, Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. And so Jesus, walking with the 12, he empowered them. In other words, him being the governor gave his 12 apostles or 12 disciples at the time, which was his disciplined students, he gave them authority to act in his name. He gave them authority to act in his name. So a police officer in the city has authority from the mayor to act upon that civic, to do civic duty or to perform things that other people may or may not be able to do themselves. We know you can do what they call a citizen's arrest, but most citizens don't do that. They do something else. So police officer's job is to serve and protect, and it's their job to see to, by the authority of their position, to make sure that peace and the well-being of the public is being taken care of. You and I, as believers, this is what Jesus did for the 12, his 12 followers. He gave them authority over evil spirits, unclean spirits, and he gave them power to heal. So, in other words, demonic spirit that would possess people to cause them to misbehave, he gave them authority to command unclean spirits to leave the life of people and to stop bothering people. He also gave them authority to speak peace into the life of people. Then, for those that may have sickness or disease, whether they're sick with the common cold or flu, or even this coronavirus, any disease, AIDS, sickle cell, high blood pressure, all of these things, he gave them power to speak healing to them. Deformities within their bodies, he gave them power to do this. Okay? Now, he was able to do that for them because he was there physically in their presence to give them this authority and to send them away from him with that same authority to perform those deeds. And as we read the scriptures, he sent them two by two out, and he commanded them, don't go everywhere. I just want you to stay amongst the lost tribe of Israel, those that have been scattered abroad, and bring this to them. Bring peace, healing, deliverance. And he gave them authority to do that. Now, he knew that the first charge was to gather the home. And I want you to pay attention to this. Since the children of Israel was the base, and they had been scattered, and many had become wayward and what have you, and strayed away from the teachings and following and being obedient to the word of God, as the disciples went out, it was to bring them in and to bring wholeness to them and to let them know that the promise has come. And that was the same as if a man hears the gospel and receives Christ into his life, he is to take that to his home and to share it with his wife and children and to help save his home. Now, that don't mean everybody in the home is going to receive Christ, but he is to be the leader and to be the example of Christ in his home. Then, after taking care of home, he is able to venture out and teach his neighbors, and he's able to continue to go forward and forward and forward into every direction that the Holy Spirit sends him. So this is the process of what they have been given when they was walking with Jesus. So tells them that. So in John, in St. John chapter 16, St. John chapter 16, verses 7. Let's turn there. St. John 16 and verse number 7. We're going to read there. And again, I'm reading the New King James Version. Verse 7 says, St. John 16, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's giving them information about the things that are about to happen to them. And so he's preparing them of things to come, his departure and how the people was going to treat them and so on. So verse 7 picks up with the words, nevertheless. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And you can imagine those that were following him, believing in him, trusting him, for him to tell them now. We read over in Matthew 10 and 1 that he gave them power. Now he's telling them, it's going to be to your advantage that I leave you. And so when Peter later on rebukes him, said, nah, not so. You know, it's only natural for Peter to say, not so, Lord. You know, although they may forsake you, I would never forsake you. All of that was naturally to come because he understood his assignment, that the timing of his assignment was coming to an end, that the time of his death on the cross had to happen, that he fulfilled the scriptures that spoke concerning it. he knew that he had to prepare their heart to deal with it. But even if you know a person is going to die, let's think about the people that we are family members that may be on hospice, that in ER rooms or in critical conditions. Even though that we may be able to talk to them before their departure and they're telling us everything going to be all right, this and that, it still pulls on the heart because you love them. For them to even say they're at peace, that they have, you don't want them to leave. So they don't want Christ to leave. They want Christ to remain. They want him to continue to be their leader. They want him to continue to guide them, and so on. And so when he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. That is a very hard thing for them to receive, because how is it going to be beneficial for us if you go away when you gave us power? You know, Jesus, you allowed us to cast out demons. We're doing stuff we ain't never could do. We didn't go to theologian school, and, you know, we're not part of the Sanhedrin court. We wasn't part of the priesthood in the temple. You took us to common people that was working in the field, doing this or that, and you empowered us to do stuff that no other man in our community can do. God, you done did something. Well, what you mean? It's to our advantage that you go. And so you can imagine yourself having been with Christ, and he's telling you this, your mind shuts down from there. And so but you got to listen to all that he says. Sometimes when people start sharing stuff with us, we may be thrown off by the beginning, but we must stay tuned to the conclusion. So he goes on and says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come. And again, Lord, you are a helper. What do you mean the helper not going to come? Now, he said that to them, but this is for our benefit. Had Christ remained in his body of flesh, then he was limited by the ability or the confounding of that flesh. In other words, if Jesus during his lifetime ministry only ministered about 30 miles in diameter around Jerusalem and the area that he ministered, 30-mile radius, that as it would be, if that's the extent of his ministry, the world is bigger than 30 miles. So he would have been limited to the magnitude in what God sent him, for God so loved the world. And then that God so only loved Jerusalem, but God so loved the world. And so he's saying, in this body, I can't touch the whole world, but when I go back to the Father, I will send the Spirit, and he will go out into all the world, and he will touch the whole world. And we're going to see that in just a moment. So, again, it says, if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. So he said, let me go. don't hold on to me. Don't stop me from fulfilling my purpose. He said, I must go. Okay? And so verse 8 says, and when he comes, who is he? The helper. Okay? So who is he? The helper. One translation said advocate. King James says comforter. So comforter, advocate, helper, all of these words have the same meaning in that he's going to come to assist us in doing what it is we've been assigned to do. So, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Okay? Again, this is one of the reasons why we cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit, because if we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that means we reject the Holy Spirit. And if we reject the Holy Spirit, we reject this part. He will convict the world of sin. So that means we reject the fact that we are sinners. So if I say I can save myself, I don't need the Holy Spirit, I can get to God myself. My brain know who the Father is, so I don't need the Son. Then we have rejected the program. And because we rejected the program, that means we rejected the conviction of sin that all of us have on our lives. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if I blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that means I reject it, renounce it, don't believe in it. Then that means I'm not convicted of my sin. Okay? So he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That means he's bringing righteousness and judgment. That's correction. This is not condemnation. This is correction for living. So, and judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. Now, this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's going to be doing. So, even as you look at that, I'm reading the New King James Version. Verse 9 in the regular King James, it says, verse 8, it says, and he will come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and ye see me no more. Now, I'm going to go to the New King James and read this, the rest of this, verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. So now, they was able to physically see Jesus with the very image and reflection of God, because he is the second part of the Godhead, Trinity. So they are seeing him. And we know that's not in our text to read tonight when the disciples, when Thomas said to Jesus, said, show us the Father. And he said, how long have you been with me? He said, you see me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus was already letting them know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I look like my daddy.
Amen. And so, but back to the text, verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's Satan. Still have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So, once again, he's telling them that he has to die. And he said, but your teaching, your training is not over. My ministry has lasted these last three and a half years. You walk with me. You follow me, but I'm not through training you. And so even us that go to school and we get a doctorate degree in divinity, any kind, that's good. But God is not through with us. He is not through training us. He's not through teaching us. And whenever we think that we have learned all that it is to learn, then we have really gotten off of the path of righteousness, because we are finite. God is infinite. That's like saying to the cup, we are a cup. 16 ounces, or a cup is 8 ounces, excuse me. And we're a cup, standard cup, 8 ounces. And so we 8 ounces, we standing to a gallon of water, which is well more than a cup. And we saying that we can hold, hey, I can hold you. You know, I can hold. Go on and pour. And the gallon begin to pour, and then we fill up. Well, we fill up, and we think we know the whole gallon. We do not. There's more in the gallon, and if we pour out everything that's in us, the gallon can still pour more into us. We can still pour that out, and the gallon can still pour more in us. And so we have to understand, just like that illustration, God is greater than a gallon. He's infinite. So no matter how much we fill up and pour out, there's still more to be filled in us. So he said, I got more for you, but you can't bear it now. Again, he's really bracing them and allowing them to know that you're going to go through a grieving period, but I got so much more for you. I'm still going to empower you. I'm still going to let you go out to all the world and teach. And you're going to still have the same authority to cast out unclean spirit and to heal all matter of sickness and disease. But here's the process, and this is the purpose. So back to verse 12. He said, I still have many things to say. So one part of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin, to bring forth righteousness and judgment of sin, okay, and to verify Christ. Then to bring, he said, and then to tell us things for us to do as we follow Christ. He's given us instruction on how to follow. So verse 12, I still have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, so the Holy Spirit is a person, when he, the Spirit of truth, is, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. King James said he will not speak of himself. Okay? In other words, he's not just speaking something to say something because he's God too. Nah, what man know the spirit of a man except for that spirit? And who knows the spirit of God except for the spirit of God? So how are we to know truly what God has planned for us? How are we to know truly what God or what Jesus will want of us? We cannot know those things unless we have the spirit from them telling us what to do. So we don't know. In other words, sometimes people prejudge us and they say, that's not my heart. I don't think like that. And that means they didn't have your spirit. They didn't have your understanding. And so a lot of times we don't have the spirit of God. We don't have the understanding of God. Truth, he comes and he explains those things to us so that we will have understanding of those things. Okay? So, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, had come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The prophet Jeremiah, after being cleansed, after the prophet had been cleansed, he said, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. And the angel went to the altar and took out a burning coal and put it on his mouth and said, I purified your mouth. And because he was in a spiritual realm, he began to hear God say, who shall go for us? Who shall I send? So he hears the Trinity talking. And that's why we tell you Trinity doctrine is all through the Bible. And so we hear the Trinity, the triune God. We hear him speaking. So the prophet hears the voice saying, who shall go for us? Who shall I send? And because he's spiritually now listening, he's been purified. And because he's been purified, he can hear what he couldn't hear before. He said, I'll go. If you need somebody. Now, before, he was concerned that he wasn't worthy to speak to people because not only did they have profane lips, he had profane lips too. But God cleansed him from his profanity. In other words, God gave him the ability to not use profanity or to be profane. And so we see the purpose of hearing what God has to say. So again, verse 13, one more time. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come, plural, things. Verse 14, he will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. So the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. Verse 15, that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. So the authority that Christ has, the Holy Spirit, will declare it unto us so that we may operate in that same authority. Now, okay, good time. So Acts chapter 1, let's go to it. I don't want, I could stay there a little bit longer, but I want to make sure I just get these in tonight. And then just in case there's some questions or comments, I want to make sure I have time to answer or receive those. Acts 1. And 1 and 6. So now we know the Acts of the Apostles. We see here that this writing is coming to a leader for clarity and understanding. And so it's given a report of what has transpired. And we can read all of that, but for the sake of the time, we're going to go down to verse 6. Well, maybe. Hold on. I might need to just back up. Let me read it out. The formal testimony I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his possession by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, command them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So number one, the Holy Spirit is also a promise. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit wanted me to back up a little bit further to point that out. In verse 4, we see that the Holy Spirit is a promise from God the Father. The Holy Spirit is a promise unto us. So how do we know it's a promise? Well, Jesus, when teaching about, he said, what man child is hungry and will ask for bread, will you give him a stone? In other words, your child is hungry, aren't you going to give him something to eat? If your child is in need, aren't you going to meet that need? Then he goes on to say, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so the Holy Spirit is for our action. Amen. All we have to do is ask for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, because he's part of a promise Jesus said, I go, and when I go, I will send. So we see the promise from the Father. We see the promise from Christ of making sure that we receive the Holy Spirit. So verse 4 again, he said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost many days hence. And for them, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them 10 days after the ascension of Christ. For 40 days he walked among them. And then he, after proving that he was alive, after proving and encouraging them about the promise, he ascended up on high, and he told them to wait for the promise. And as they was waiting, and we're going to read verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, I'm reading King James now, when they therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hands. Verse 8, but ye shall receive, here's our confirmation, but ye shall receive. See, a lot of times we put a lot of emphasis on, and I'm taking a step back, we sometimes put a lot of emphasis on what God going to do later. You know, so they was concerned. Verse 6, when they four had came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, so a lot of times we want, Lord, when you going to stop all this sin? When you going to get rid of the devil? We got these questions in our heads, and we focus on the deeds of wrongful people. Well, it says, fret not because of evildoers, for they soon shall be cut down. So we don't have to worry about what evil people does. We just need to do what God has commanded and commissioned us to do. So it's not for us to be, how long you going to tarry, Lord? Lord, I thought we was in the last days. Don't get caught up in that. Let that go. Why? Because they wanted to know when God was going to restore Israel. And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father had put in his own power. In other words, when will the rapture take place? When will the rapture of the church take place? That's for God the Father to know. That's in his power. That's for him to decide. Okay? But now he goes on, ye shall receive power. Okay. In other words, we're not here without source, without provision, without authority. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come where? Upon you. Okay? So the authority of the Holy Ghost will come upon us as a mantle. Fellowship and relationship do the Holy Ghost come within. He come upon to give us our assignments, our titles, our positions. Remember, I talked about in the anointing, you're anointed. There's an anointing on you, and there's an anointing in you. So the Holy Spirit comes. He's the one that does the anointing. So the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and he does this. So that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses. So the very first act outside of our personal being, the first expression of the Holy Spirit for us is to be a witness. So for us as born-again believers, if we are not witnessing Christ, then we're not allowing the Holy Spirit that has come upon us to do his job. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and conjunction, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. That's everywhere. Our job is to let the Holy Spirit help us to witness Jesus to the world. There's nothing wrong with you getting happy in church and running around the church shouting, speaking in tongues, and all of that. All of that's good. That's personal. That's relational. But when you finish doing all of that, if you don't be a witness, if you are not demonstrating yourself as a witness of Christ, then the Holy Spirit in you is vain. Period. Come to empower. Let me revert you back to Matthew 10:1. And he called his 12 disciples. We're going to remove the word 12. But we're going to leave in disciple, which means disciplined students. So we should always be disciplined, and we should always be learning. Call his believers, his students, his followers, that's us, to him. And he, Christ, gave us power. What kind of power? Over unclean spirits. For what purpose? To cast them out. So our job is to pray for people, to cast out evil spirits. Sometimes it's not so much that people don't want to be saved, but they are tormented within themselves because of the spirits that are dwelling in their lives. Remember the man by the tomb? The Bible said that he was so vexed that he couldn't stay in the city, that he kept dwelling in the graveyard. They were bind the man up with chains, and the demonic forces in his life will pop the chains as if they was just pieces of limbs, and you know, he popped them like they meant nothing. That demonic spirit in him gave him almost what would appear to be supernatural strength. But he was tormented till he couldn't stay in his home. He was not the father or the husband to his family as he was supposed to be. And it wasn't that he didn't want to be. But the Bible says that Jesus came to the coastline in the area where he was. And that man, being tormented by them demons, saw Jesus. The demons knew who Jesus was. And the man simply made his way toward where Jesus was. And the demons begin to speak out within the man. We know who you are, the Son of God. Have you come torment us or to judge us before the time? In other words, the demonic spirits know that there's a day of judgment coming for them, in which they're going to have to receive their eternal punishment. And he said to them, what's your name? And those demons answered, we are legion. In other words, they had a group name, not an individual name, for we are many. So there were so many spirits trapped in the life of this man, being tormented by all of these spirits. How did that happen? One way that could have happened, this man had rejected truth for so long that God had allowed him to go into that reprobated state of mind. When the world reject truth, eventually it just only receives lies. And those lies are spirits that are demonic and evil. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, it is to bring life to the broken, to the already condemned. We're not going to condemn them. They're already condemned. We're to say to them, you don't have to be condemned anymore. There's hope now. Jesus' very first message was one of repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's available. It is available, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the rule and reign and authority of God, the King, who want to demonstrate his love, his authority, his nature to his people. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit empower us to do that. Now, you may not be able to explain scriptures like I'm doing now, but at some point, in receiving Christ, you had an understanding that you connected your mouth to confess and your heart to receive. Well, that action, I can't explain it for you because I'm not you. But you can explain it to someone because that's what you experienced. And you share that experience of how you encountered Christ. That's what it means to be a witness. You don't have to give my testimony. I grew up in the church. I knew the Lord growing up in the church. I wanted to be saved. I asked God to save me at 7. I lived a Christian life. But I got in them late teens and started rebelling and started doing some other stuff. And I heard a message, and I didn't have other teachings, but it stuck out in my head. He said, be cold or be hot. For the lukewarm, so in my mind, don't play church. Don't play with it. Because he spit. And in my mind, that was the worst thought imaginable. God spit me out. Man, if I spit up something, I ain't finna swallow it again. I am not a dog. I'm not going back to my vomit to lick it up. No. For the lukewarm, to me, I can't get past the thought. It simply means to me, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. That means God knows how to deal with us when we cold. He'll have patience with us when we're cold because he knows it's a matter of time before we heat up. And it, like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't contain it. And so God allowed me space, time, and opportunity to go out and mess up and do some things I ain't had no business doing. Not proud of it. It is what it is. It's done now. I can't do nothing but testify that God brought me through it all. He redeemed me. Purified me. And that behavior, he cleansed me from. And so, therefore, we need the Holy Spirit, righteousness within us. Because what's the point of me pointing at the issue that you have? That means the beam in your eye, but can't see the mote. That means all the mess all around mine. So, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think this is a good stopping point in this particular part of the lesson. Amen. Now, I'm going to go back and open up the mics and want to give you opportunity. If you have questions, comments, all the mics are open. Hello. On air.
Hello. Good evening. Great message as always. Takeaway is let God do what God does and stop trying to be God. And in order to hear God, you must listen. So that's my takeaway.
It's very unique the way you put that. Thank you, Brother Six. To our listening audience, that this is none other than our founder of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Mr. Charles Stafford himself, a.k.a. Six Eyes. I'm thankful for your takeaway.
Thank you, sir.
Have you ever questioned in your life concerning the Holy Spirit? Have you had questions that may have not been answered as to explaining to you who the Holy Spirit is or the purpose or anything in that area?
So the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is something that I always wonder who was real and who wasn't. Because, you know, you go to church, you go to church, and like someone like yourself, so you're anointed. You know, how people speak in tongues. Now, you actually speak in tongues because you're anointed. But then there's people that play with God, you know, and God's not an action figure that you pick up and play with. So it's like separating the real from the fake. So often wondered because everybody can't speak in tongues. You know, it's a a language. It's a language with God and the anointed, the vessel. So that's been my thing. So how to decipher the real from the fake.
So that
right there.
Very good question. Yes. Very, very good question. Now, amen. I've not the only minister on here. I don't know if Missionary Ken want to jump in on that before I begin to answer that. He's more than welcome to ask, as they say, add his two cents in into this or cast his lot in on this. But one of the things about the Holy Spirit, you will have people that what we call mimickers, they will mimic what they see others do. They will mimic what they hear others say. And even some will just make up stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There have been organizations that say, well, they're going to teach you how to speak in tongues. Well, the problem with that is, if I spoke Spanish and I was a person from Spain or Spanish-speaking natives, then I can teach you how to speak Spanish. Same with French, German, African, Swahili, any other particular language around the world. But to teach you my language, I need to know your language, and I need to know the relevant words of yours as it relates to the relevant word of mine in my language in order to teach you my language.
Yes, sir.
Let's be honest. And you have to do it like this. In order for me to teach you, I must first know. Not just do, because although I can speak certain Spanish words, but I can't teach you Spanish. Reason being, I don't know enough. I can tell you to say, ¿cómo se llama? And you're like, huh? ¿Cómo se llama? What's your name? I can teach you a few words because I only know a few words. But if I was fluent in that, that means I was fluent in that because I'm a native, then I can teach that. How can you tell me you are a fluent speaker of the heavenly language when it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you who's fluent? If the Holy Spirit is in you, then I don't have to teach you how to speak his language because he already knows. You ever seen people that comes over, their children, they've learned English because they grew up, but they themselves, they only speak their language because they don't have that much interaction with others because they don't know the language. So the child is interpreting for them. So the Holy Spirit have to interpret for us because we don't know enough because we haven't been there enough to know what we even saying. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of angels, and he said he does it more than all of them. He said, man, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. He said, but it do you no good because unless there's an interpreter, then what it profits you? Nothing. So people was trying to make you be something that you're not, teach you how to speak in tongues, but I can help you subject yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he, through you, will speak in tongues. And even when he, through you, speak in tongues, there's one that's for personal, and then there's one for the public. And if you don't have the anointing for the public, what you do must be personal. And even when you do that, you must ask him to bring understanding to what you're doing so that you're not just doing something without understanding. And we'll get into that. The Bible said, the scripture that goes and said, and the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us with moanings and groanings that cannot be uttered or understood. And so some things that the Holy Spirit does, we don't understand. We just know that's what he did. So if I was in a meeting and I began to speak in tongues out loud to the public, in other words, I took a center stage and began to speak in tongues, and the teaching goes on, and if I'm not able to interpret and there's not an interpreter there to interpret what I said to the group, then I've done that presumptuous. I'm out of order because my private speaking in tongues is for my personal worship. But when I take the position to speak in tongues to the crowd, and there's no interpreter, then I don't benefit the crowd. Then I've done that presumptuous. I've done that out of order. And so bring forth confusion, not understanding. God is a God of order. And he's very intelligent. So if he chooses to speak to an audience in tongues, there's an interpreter. I remember years ago, ministry I came out of called Titus. This was back in Jacksonville. Pastor, he's going on to be with the Lord now. Pastor R.J. Washington, Apostle R.J. Washington, at his passing. But years ago, early, this was late 90s. There was a man that came and sat in the back of the church, and his, you know, hindsight is 20/20. He didn't know why he was there. He just felt led by the Lord to come and visit. And this being a predominantly African American church, and its attendees. This man, he was dressed like a banker. And the Lord told him to come in, and he sat in the back. And somebody else was there and began to speak in tongues. And he stood up right afterwards and gave and stated what was said. And it, the word that came to the house blessed the people that was there with the direction of the ministry, how it was growing, and so on and so forth. And he said, he testified that he didn't have an idea why he was there, knew within himself that he had to be there. But once the Holy Spirit spoke, he said the revelation of what was being said was in him so till he couldn't do nothing but resound. Now, if you give me five minutes of speaking in tongues, do not insult anybody intelligent and give me a 30-second interpretation, because translation does not work that way. If you talk for 5 minutes in tongues, it needs to be somewhere close to 5 minutes interpretation coming along with it. So we have to watch the fake, because sometimes people do things, what we call grandstanding. Some people want to feel great, want to feel so-and-so, and so people will, for their own personal selfish reason, do what they do. But God is a God of war. And whenever he does things, it's for a purpose. You may be in an environment where the people are speaking a different language, and the spirit of tongues may come upon you, and you feel overwhelmingly compelled to speak out what you're saying. The people there may hear exactly what you are saying in their language. And because it was in their language, there's no need for interpreter, because God gave you a spirit to speak in unknown language. That means unknown by you, but it was for the purpose of them. Now, what that did for them was reinforce the power of God, because you didn't speak their language, but God gave you for that moment, for that reason, to speak to that body, or that belief, that body of believers, to speak to them so that they may hear the truth of what God is saying to them. And it will empower them to do what God has for them to do. So everything is about, God is a God of order. He's about development, building. The only thing he's tearing down is Satan's kingdom. So we have to be mindful of that. I hope I ain't go too far away from your initial statement.
No, not at all, Pastor. Thank you for that.
Amen. So we just have to be mindful. So don't let nobody can teach you how to speak in tongues. You know, if anybody ever try that, tell them, what's the name of that course? What it is?
Rosetta Stone. There's no Rosetta Stone for tongues.
Rosetta Stone. Yeah. Tell them, nah, I download it on Rosetta Stone. Then if you got to teach it to me, let me download it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But I mean it. Let me download it so I can learn it at home. I ain't gonna let you take me to the room. No, that's okay.
Amen.
I'm not gonna let you indoctrinate me in the doctrines of demons. And you have to be careful. Amen. Missionary Ken, you're more than welcome. If I left anything out on that, you're more than welcome to add to it.
Nope, but you did mention, the one thing you did mention, also reminds me of Acts 1:8, when you were talking about as the power was given, he told them to wait there, and then when the power was given them by the Holy Spirit, they would go first into Jerusalem, then Judea, and Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I was liking that you were talking about first start at home, then to your neighbors, then your community, and so on. Amen.
Amen. I thank you for bringing that back. It's so important, you know. Some people, you just got saved and you want to go to Africa. I'm sorry. Y'all have to excuse the preacher. I don't mean no harm. But
there's some Africans right there where you live.
Take care of them. So let's not want to run and save the world and be like Lot and let our whole family be condemned because we didn't work on our family. Amen. So I know our time is running out. I see a new caller. Did you have any questions about the Holy Spirit this evening? God bless you, Sister Emily. We you was mentioned in our prayer request earlier. Amen. And so you are in the prayers of this body of believers. And so be encouraged. It's good to hear your voice.
I have the doctors, instead of doing the bone marrow transplant all at one time, what they're going to do is do it in three separate sets to make sure as they're doing it, I don't have a adverse reaction.
Okay. Well, we want them to definitely take their time to do what's needful for you in your state, your condition. We don't want them to rush because we don't want you to depart this world before your time. We want you to remain with us as long as God would allow you to stay here. We know you want to go to heaven, but you don't have to go today. And so we want you to stick around for a minute. Amen. Stick around for a little bit and help us minister and fellowship together. Amen. So stick around, all right?
Well, I could tell you the way my aunt told another preacher, and when she told me what she did, that I could not believe it.
But don't do it, Dan. Don't do it.
No, it was kind of funny when she did it. She looked at her pastor and she goes, "You know what? I got to tell you something, pastor." And her pastor goes, "What's that, Rose?" And she goes, "You know, I'll be around till I'm about 95 or 100. And her pastor's like, "Oh, you got insight on that?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Easy. I'll be around that long because I got too many people to aggravate, torture, and torment before I go."
Do seem like the mean will stick around a long time, don't it?
Well, like I told her, I said, "Well, I could tell any of the pastors on our broadcast the same thing. I'll be around that long because I got too many people to aggravate, torture, and torment before I go."
That's all right.
Quit using my lines.
That's all right. That's all right. Well, I want you to stick around so that you can be around, you know. But you got to take care of yourself, amen, so that you can be around. So do what you are able to do and leave the rest in God's hand, amen. So to all our listeners on tonight, I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Thank you for joining us. This was the teaching in teaching of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. This was just part two. There's so much more teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. So all month long, we will be ministering from that standpoint of the Holy Spirit. So stay tuned. Listen in on the Sunday program, the Sunday Gospel Show. And again, next week, I'll be right back here with the help of the Lord to continue to minister from this position. Next Sunday will be Mother's Day. We want to encourage you that if your mother is living, whether you are in good relationship with them or not, reach out and let them know that you love them. Don't give me no buts. If you don't love them, don't die. That's all I got to tell you. We ain't going to preach at you, but you should love them. Even if they didn't do what they were supposed to do in bringing you up, still love them. And to all the mothers that are out there, we want to say Happy Mother's Day coming up. Amen. And whether your children are alive or able to recognize who you are, know that God recognizes who you are. Amen. I know in raising children, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have not done all that we probably should have done. Amen. But just because we messed up then don't mean we have to continue to mess up. And so reach out to your children. Let them know that you love them. Amen. And that you're still here. So, again, Mother's Day is on this coming Sunday. And to all the mothers, happy pre-Mother's Day. We love you with the love of Christ. And unless there's any additional question concerning the Holy Spirit on tonight, going once, going twice, gone. All right, we'll be tuning in next week as we continue on in the teachings. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity just to teach the lesson. I know I can play music and all the other stuff on the program, but I want to really take the time now to teach some principles and to empower us to become better Christians, better believers, more informed, so that we can help somebody else and that we can build our world and make our world a better place together. Amen. We're better together. And so we must be empowered. No chain. Every chain is as strong as its weakest link. So don't you be the weakest link. God bless you. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may he rest, rule, and abide with each one of us here now and forever. Until the next point of time where you will allow us to come together in fellowship, Father, we thank you. Cover us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Let no evil fall upon us. Give us traveling mercy as we travel to and fro. Continue to bless this station as it do the work that you have given it to do. And we thank you now. Thank you for using us as vessels to carry out your mission. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first and teaching us how to love others. God bless you. God keep you all. Amen and amen. Tonight from the Six Eyes Radio Network, this has been a Motivational Monday by yours truly. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Yeah.